purify your life today.
Hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend and you're getting ready for yet, another work week. But maybe you have a week's vacation coming up. Usually that happens June, July, or August. In fact, something like 75% of all people who take a week's vacation take it either in June or they take it in August. Kate Delaney hanging with you, as always, in between and all the way around the states here. America Tonight, the name of the show, as we like to affectionately call it. If you have ADD, you love this show. And if you don't, hopefully you like it as well. You can always shoot us an email with your thoughts to americatonight.net. All right, finally, we talked about this a ton last week, but that Flight 447, the Air France flight, so mysterious. It seemed as though that finally there was a break in finding the debris, but then it turned out it wasn't the debris from the Air France flight. That's where we left this saga before the weekend. Well, now, fast forward a couple of days, 17 bodies pulled out of the waters near Brazil, all recovered, of course, from the crash of the jetliner off that South American coastline. The Brazilian Navy, the Air Force, found 9 bodies originally, and they say that's where the Airbus went down, and they're searching all around as more bodies are starting to appear. Just a rehash in case you didn't hear, this jet was going to Paris from Rio. There were 228 people on board the plane along with the crew. It was very mysterious because it just disappeared into thin air, almost like the television series Lost. Suddenly vanished, gone. And there was all kinds of speculations. Was it a bomb, because there had been bomb threats to some other airliners in South America? Was it a lightning strike? Did an electrical process fail as a result? Did the plane fly too low? And they're still, of course, piecing that all together. But the good news, I think, I mean, it's sad and it's tragic, but the fact that you're finding bodies brings closure to a lot of families versus the first day, the second day, the third day. Geez, we don't know what happened. We're scouring this vast Atlantic Ocean. It's so deep and the conditions are bad and we can't find the plane and we're looking for the pings and all that other stuff. It had to be horrific for anybody who had family members on that plane. So they found the bodies about 700 miles from the coast. And they found a couple of other things like luggage, a leather briefcase, that kind of stuff. And sadly, obviously, still trying to piece together what might have happened. But they did find 2 key pieces in the middle of all that evidence. They've got the flight data and cockpit voice recorders, that's what they're hoping to find anyway. They think they will in that area, but they're still missing because the fear is that it's probably on the ocean floor. And if you look at how deep that water is, I mean, that part of the ocean where they found the bodies, you're talking about 26,000 feet deep. Yeah, like 8,000 meters. We know that's very, very deep. So you have to go down with a special craft even to go down to the bottom of it. And there's still, like I said, the good news is the pieces of evidence they think they're near because of the pinging sound, but they also believe they're on the ocean floor. So those pinger locators, that's what helps them. They're kind of like emergency beacons, if you will. And that's what they're starting to look for. They're starting to find the specific area and starting to go down, which is probably a really, really, I think, good thing. But for crash investigators, that's the whole idea. They want to put this together and figure out the clues from the pieces so that they know or try to at least piece together what possibly happened, because they had these error messages saying that the plane might have been flying too fast or too slow through horrible thunderstorms where a lot of other pilots avoided that area. It seems to point to that. But like I said, the good news is, I think, for the families, is the fact that they found some of these bodies. I mean, honestly, it sounds ghoulish, but if you had a loved one in some kind of an accident, wouldn't you want to have a body? There's something about that. There's something about, I believe, the closure that you can bury or cremate or whatever it is you do according to your religious beliefs. But at least I think mentally you get a sense of some kind of closure anyway. Hey, there's no closure, certainly, when it comes to North Korea. And, you know, I've been railing on this a ton because nothing infuriates me more than the situation with North Korea, the fact that Kim Jong-il forever gets away with the nonsense that, frankly, he gets away with. And the so-called sanctions or, geez, you better look out because we're going to do something. Pretty much all of us have had enough of this guy, this dictator who I think is laughing all the way to the bank because, of course, he's still continuing to run his goods through China and other areas. But now it's time to smack down on Kim Jong-il, and even President Obama agrees. Here's a little snippet of what he said about North Korea.
Actions over the last several months have been extraordinarily provocative.
Yeah, extraordinarily provocative. And if you go back to the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, they looked to the UN for sanctions, and look, here we are again with a couple of missile tests and worrying about nukes. And certainly Japan as an ally, they have to be massively concerned. And now China might get into the game. China pretty much skittish about getting too deep into it and realizing what can happen with North Korea, but also realizing it hurts them as well. So Hillary Clinton says that the State Department is really looking into whether North Korea should be placed back on the list of state sponsors of terrorism. Now, there has to be some sort of legal process, I'm assuming, for this, because they were taken off the list. And at this point, I think Obama, I think anyone in his administration, and I think the rest of us are sick of this, so I'm going to give them thumbs up for this. But the bottom line is, how far should the U.S. go in showing muscle to the North Koreans? Okay, talking about intercepting boats and talking about intercepting boats that might have weapons, let's call them weapons of mass destruction, for lack of a better word. Well, nukes, right? But also, now there's talk of aiding China and not letting things be exported into China. So not just threats of sanctions, but actually hitting North Korea in the so-called pocketbook. To me, I think that's the very first thing. Not talk about it. Not talk about the UN. Not talk about the possibilities of it. Cut the tough talk and get down to the smackdown. And the smackdown is, listen, we're tired. We've gone through two presidencies where we have given you a ton of leeway. A ton of leeway. Both a Democratic administration and a Republican administration. And then the UN would threaten these sanctions for years, but nothing happens. So Kim Jong-il, as I said, just laughs, sets off the missile tests, flexes his muscle, tells everybody, announces to the world what the North Koreans had done. And I think you just cannot bury your head in the sand. There's so much going on between worrying about Iran, obviously, the Middle East peace, so-called peace process, and a slew of other things like Iraq and Afghanistan. But so what? You cannot let North Korea get away with this. What do you think? 800-259-5791. Keep that number handy. We're going to take your calls. But next, we have a really interesting guest you're not going to want to miss here on ATN.
Oh, Greg. Oh, no. I don't have any weapons of mass destruction, can I?
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
This is the perfect thing to talk about here on America Tonight. Carl Schoengerst joins us now. We're talking about our religions teaching intolerance. You know how that old saying about religion and politics can't bring it up at the dinner table, and I told you I didn't grow up that way. And you know America Tonight is all about letting it all hang out, and everything is up for grabs in every sort of direction. So please, if you want to chime in, feel free to do that at 800-259-5791. Carl, thanks for hanging with us on ATN. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Let's just take that question as a whole. Are religions teaching intolerance? What do you think?
They're doing both. Our religions are highly bipolar. They have, and chiefly the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, they have marvelous morals and ethics at one pole, which have served us all very well and which we all profit and gain from. But on the other pole, they all also have a pole of exclusivity. Each of them says that unless you believe this certain way, you're going to burn and rot in hell for an eternity. And it depends on which of those you wish to emphasize. If we allow the extremists in these religions to become prominent and dominant, then they will emphasize that exclusivity clause. And then all kinds of terrible things happen when we think that no one else has it right, and they deserve to suffer for believing differently. That's the problem we see nowadays.
And is it because I think people want to belong, and so in theory that's okay. You want to belong, you have similar beliefs, but then, as you said it, then you get the extremism comes into play, and it gets nasty. It gets nasty in the United States, obviously outside of our borders. When you look at the Middle East and things that have happened there.
Yeah. Sure.
And so many religions, you know this, Carl, so many wars are actually religious wars, right?
You know, I'm not sure how much they are religious wars. I think there's a lot of human greed and jealousy and anger and bitterness over decades that's thrown in there. But, yeah, our religions are used as the excuse, at least, for Muslims the highlight of all this is, I'm sure for all of us, is that those Muslim extremists that flew airplanes into the World Trade Center towers believed in their hearts that they were doing the most moral and just and right thing that they could do with their lives by that terrible act.
Right. You've got a book that's called Religious Subversion of Democracy. Explain the title. How'd you come up with that title?
Well, I was concerned that we would allow extremism in religions to become a part of our government. Democracy doesn't work that way. It is certainly for religions. It is for the free practice of religions of all kind. It wants people to have their religions and have those religions give them guidance and comfort. But it is also just as much freedom of religion that believes that no one religion should have the right to force its belief on any others. It's democracy says that every person should be able to believe and worship as they wish without having something else forced on them. They should have that faith without being punished or a loss of possessions or jail time or anything else. They should have that freedom of their own expression and worship.
And I think people forget, Carl, that that's what our democracy was founded on, of course, the founding fathers. That's the whole idea, right?
That's the idea. Let everyone have their own worship and religion. Do not let any one religion dominate and force others to believe that certain way. That's not what we're after. That's not what democracy is after. And that scares me when I hear people talk. They mean well. The one they say this should be a Christian nation with only Christian judges and Christian senators and Christian presidents and Christian everything. I'm sure they mean well, but that would be a terrible mistake to not allow that diversity of religious belief.
Yeah, because we certainly can agree to disagree. I don't understand that either. So how do you pull it around? I mean, obviously you write a book and it's about that. I do a talk show and I talk about, you know, when I might not agree with my neighbor, but gosh, we live in a democracy and I embrace the fact that we all have the right to worship how we want to or have freedom of speech and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, that's one thing that can happen. But on a bigger scale, what do you think needs to happen?
I believe that we have to look carefully at our religions. I think that we are those of us who do not become terribly riled about our religions are at fault too, because we allow those who are extremists to express themselves in violent ways. What we need to do is look carefully at our religions and emphasize in every way we can their compassionate portions and de-emphasize and resist in any way we can these exclusivity expressions of our religions where we want to punish other people for believing differently. That's a terrible way for any religion to behave.
Yeah. When you were doing the research for your book, what did you, in the various areas, what did you find to be particularly disturbing as far as certain religions?
I think they're all at fault. I think what I do in the book is to begin with what science tells us about our world and our universe and contrast that with what our religions tell us. Then I take each of those religions in turn, examine their belief systems and what we can believe in as factual and helpful in our lives and what parts we really have to doubt and wonder why we allow those to guide us at all. I think that for, in very brief terms, I think for the Islam, which is a marvelous, compassionate religion, and has one of its five pillars being compassionate, taking care of the lame, the poor, the weak, the traveler, the widow, the orphan. They have to do that to be part of the religion. Their problem, I think, major problem in that religion is exclusivity entirely. This only applies to Muslims. It does not apply to anyone else. I think that's pretty much so in Christianity and Judaism. Judaism, for example, says that In their religion, they're the chosen people. No other people are chosen to be the dominant people over all other people in the world. And, you know, if you want to emphasize in any religion this exclusive elite club nobody else belongs to, if you believe just a certain way and then punish other people for not believing that way, then we are in trouble.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that, and I think it's across the board, and that's why I'm glad that you do that in your book, examining all the religions and looking across the board to everything and saying, okay, here's what the belief system is, here's what we've seen. And I guess the key thing is, this is what you said at the beginning, it's the extremism of it. It's being an extremist and taking it to a completely different level, and unfortunately that happens in a lot of different religions, right?
Well, all religions have their extremists. We see it primarily in those that we are most familiar with, which are the religions of Abraham. But the Hindu and Buddhists Sikhs and all the others have their different sects that are sometimes extremely violent towards their fellow humans. So, yeah, they all have that problem.
Yeah. If somebody wants to get a copy of Religious Subversion of Democracy, where can they do that, Carl?
Any online bookstore. You can order it.
All right. So Amazon.com.
Yeah,
hey, Carl, thanks. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right. Dr. Tiller is an example of that. The killing of Dr. Tiller, of course, the abortionist doctor. And I can understand how some people would be infuriated with his work. He was one of three doctors that did the late-term abortions, but to go to the extreme of gunning him down, this is exactly what we're talking about in the name of Christianity, right? So the book is timely, and you heard a mention, of course, when you talk about Islam, and you talk about, obviously, ultimately, what is the goal and what is the exclusivity of the club. For the extremist part of the club, unfortunately in the United States, we've seen that jihadism, etc., and the feeding into the Taliban and whatnot. And in the United States, it's like you have to keep in mind, okay, here's the deal, folks. We purposely got away from England so we could practice what we wanted to practice and we could say what we wanted to say, right? Coming up on the flip side, the Daily Salute. He was sort of at a loss for words, but what a day. Who am I talking about? The mystery man has to do with sports and a tennis racket. That's next on America Tonight.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V Online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days. But many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
It's time for sports shorts. Maybe you laid on the couch, did the couch potato thing, and watched some sports. I know I did over the weekend. Kate, hanging with you here on ATN. One of the things I watched, of course, was the Red Wings, and they demolished the Penguins. So they have a 3-2 lead in their series. I mean, just blew their doors off. And I was talking to someone earlier in the day, and I said, somebody said to me, hey, no one's watching this series. I'm like, are you kidding? On my Facebook, Mark Cuban, the guy who owns the Dallas Mavericks, was heading off to watch the Penguins game. And, of course, he's a rich guy with a plane and a sports fanatic and all that other stuff. But trickling down from Mark Cuban, a lot of people were actually into this series. I have to say, because I always say that there's parts of the United States that you're not really in tune with hockey. But game three of this series, if we wound back the clock and went to game three, it had their highest ratings, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, since 2002. So somebody's watching hockey besides the Canadians and the folks in the upper Midwest and in the Northeast. So there you go. I think it's about how the matchup is presented, and it's about if it's closer. It's about timing. It's about what else is going on in the sports world, too. Sam is listening to us across the border in Montreal, speaking of hockey. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Did you watch that game? I mean, it was like no contest.
Or as I called it, the massacre.
It was a massacre. I mean, 5-0 nothing. I mean, it was all Red Wings all the time.
I mean, like I was watching the French reports after the game, and Marc-Andre Fleury, the Pittsburgh goalie, said, "Hey, bounce here, you know, no defense. It wasn't totally my fault." And then, of course, the Pittsburgh coach said, "They're a good team." Period.
Which is true. They're a good team. Because, you know, it goes to that theory, too. You look at, they had a couple of power play goals. They had, like, three power play goals, which, of course, that's what you want, right? But just in general, if you look at their lines with Rafalski, Hosa, Chris Osgood, et cetera, down the line.
Sure.
And the Frazen, et cetera. I mean, they're loaded top to bottom. Whether it's Rafalski mixed up with, Nicholas Lidstrom, whatever.
Right.
You know, name the names. They're just set up perfectly, I think, in this time around.
You know it. And I spoke to Steve today.
And what does he say about what's going on in Israel?
Okay, first of all, what your humble president said was, right-wing paper said, okay, hey, you know, it'll never happen. You know, let's be blunt, it'll never happen.
And the
left-wing newspaper is saying, oh, they praised him for, you know, promoting peace and all that. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's like nothing. It's nothing new. I haven't heard anything before, but I guess you know. Next week there's
Netanyahu.
What?
Next week, Benjamin Netanyahu is supposed to speak. This week he's supposed to speak. So I'm curious to hear what he has to say.
True, and they're also worried about the elections going on in two Middle Eastern countries.
Yep.
So I mean, it's like you know, Steve, tell me something I don't know. You know,
exactly.
So that, and then he said, he asked me how Julie was. So, and then he jokingly said, so will I fly in and get the rabbinical family discount? I said, I'll pay for your plane ticket. That's about it. You know, but, by the way, since the NHL draft is coming up soon.
Right.
Okay, you told me what your Flyers needed, but what did the Dallas Stars need?
Oh, the Stars, gosh. You know, it's not really goaltending. I don't really think it's defense.
Right.
I think they need a couple of decent wingers. I think they need some more speed. And then they've got, you know, they have Madonna coming back for his 20th year. And I mean, I know he's the superstar on the team, but 20th year back for Madonna, they have a couple of guys that are a little bit long in the tooth.
Yeah, I was going to say, look at Chris Chelios. He's been playing since,
long time.
Yeah.
40s. He's like mid-40s at least, yeah?
Yeah, and you know, he won a Stanley Cup with the Canadians. I mean, obviously, I guess the attitude is if you're still good enough.
Right.
Keep playing, but at the same time, you might be, you know, stopping the
giving up something.
Yeah, you might be stopping the progress of some younger players because of that. You know, I was going to suggest, I mean, I don't wish anything bad on Chelios. Why doesn't Detroit buy his contract out and say, hey, you've played too long already, you've run enough Stanley Cups. Please,
it's time for you to leave. You've done enough damage in the league. Well, here's the thing, and Chelios right now, I mean, look at him.
He's 45.
I mentioned some of the names. Right, I mentioned some of the names like Lindstrom, Rafalski,
right.
et cetera, and you look at defense there. I'm sure this is boring, all the America Tonight listeners. Sorry if you're listening to this and saying, what is
don't worry, going this, to, this thing
some people in hockey.
Don't worry, this thing will be all be over by Tuesday.
So the bottom line is Chris Chelios is part of another winning team. I mean, here you go again with the Red Wings. So
right.
I think if he wants to come back, I don't think they're going to push him out the door. But from the standpoint of the team, what do you sacrifice when someone stays around? Hey, Slam and Sammy, we'll talk to you about what happens here in the next one. We'll see.
Okay,
and I'm sure, like you said, we'll be wrapping it up. It's interesting. The puck drops next Tuesday, but it's at Pittsburgh. You know, somehow I screwed up how the series goes. It goes 2-2-1-1-1. And Tuesday, it's at Pittsburgh. The puck drops Eastern time, 8 o'clock. And then we'll see what happens if there's another one. And then you go to Detroit after that. And what happened here was, just quickly, I'll just finish this off because I know I'm going to get some emails from hockey fans. The goaltender was pulled. Fleury was pulled in the second period. So this was after the Red Wings, with the Game 5 matchup with the Red Wings, after allowing 5 goals, as I said before, on 21 shots, so that's the thing. So the backup jumped in. The backup, Garon, it was his first appearance of the postseason, only the second in his career, I guess, certainly for the Stanley Cup finals. So that's how badly they felt like, you know, this guy's been incredible, but geez, maybe we need to pull him out. And I think that was probably a smart move. Well, there was no pulling of Roger Federer. This is incredible. Even if you are not a sports fan, Roger Federer beat a guy named Robin Soderling. He tied Pete Sampras's record of 14 major victories. You know, we're talking about a Grand Slam event, and he wiped him up pretty much. 6-1, 7-6, 6-4. I watched the whole thing, and as I'm a tennis fan, but it was huge to watch Federer. Tears running down his face. He had never won the French Open. He's like the second greatest clay court player now. Rafa Nadal was knocked out. So the popular Swiss player, so happy to win it, and that's why he gets our daily salute. But here's what Roger had to say after the match.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. I guess the most satisfying victory in my life, right next to my first Wimbledon, I think, because that was so emotional, so in a way unexpected, and this one was, there was so much pressure involved, and for so many years I've been trying so hard to get this title, so in the end to get it, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, strange too. Federer won his 14th at 27. Pete Sampras, who never even reached a French Open final, the American, of course, was 31 when he won his last major title. So Federer gets a chance for 15. That's in 2 weeks at Wimbledon. And Matt, I know that you said you slept in because you were working a lot, so you missed the match itself. But one of the strange things that happened during this match was this wackadoodle runs onto the court and tried to put a hat on Federer's head. He was dressed up. He stunned everyone. And he ran out. He was obviously close in the stands. And he was wrapped in red, and he had on, I want to say, had Barcelona colors on. And he leapt into the clay court and tried to put this hat on his head. It was the weirdest thing. And I was thinking, at least the guy isn't naked, you know. But it's so scary for people watching this, of course, in tennis, because this nutball waving this Barcelona soccer team flag and running toward Federer and trying to put that hat on his head, it makes you think of Monica Seles. People, do you remember that? Had somebody that jumped on the court in 93 and stabbed Monica Seles because he wanted Steffi Graf to win.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of when I actually heard about it, and then I later went on the Internet and saw the clip of it, was, and you think after that original incident, they would have kind of cleaned up, you know, security around there and made sure that if there is anybody coming out, I mean, he made it all the way to him, you know, and he touched Roger Federer. You don't think you'd be able to get all the way that close if you're jumping on the court, you know?
Yeah, I think it was a big blunder by the French. I was surprised by that because as somebody who's been to a bunch of these tennis tournaments and our U.S. Open folks in New York, even before 9/11, because I've been there many times before 9/11, you always had the presence of police, like, somewhere really close by. So if somebody, sure, maybe somebody could somehow slip down on the court, it'd be pretty tough in New York, but if they did, I think they would have nabbed him pretty quickly, but it seemed like this guy had the lay of the land. It was crazy to watch that happen. So I felt badly for Federer because, you know, it had to shake him up a little bit, and I think it did. He talked about it a little bit afterwards and kind of just blew it off. And then luckily he just shook it off, you know, because he had a tough draw. He had two matches where he went to five sets and could have lost. One of them was to Tommy Haas, and the other one was to a guy named Del Potro. And if he had lost to either one of them, of course, he would have been out of the French Open. So it was a big moment. And as I said, that would be the daily salute. Normally, we don't always pick celebrities and famous people, but you got to hand it to Roger Federer. What a competitor he is. Coming back on the flip side, there was a little old race in horse racing, the Belmont. And, oh, yeah, there was snow in the United States. Can you guess where? And it wasn't Alaska.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all-natural insecticides from FreshwaterOrganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP, to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from FreshwaterOrganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs.
Yeah, well, most of us, at least in some parts of the country, are sweltering in the heat of 90 degree plus temperatures. Not so in North Dakota. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you, and I don't even have galoshes on here on America Tonight. Snow has fallen in Dickinson in June. Dickinson is a town right there in Bismarck, North Dakota, right in that vicinity. And it's been 60 years since the city has seen snow past May, but reason to celebrate or not, the National Weather Service said that there were unofficial reports, anyway, of a couple of inches, because it was never quite clear how much landed, but a couple of inches of snow. Wow. That's pretty wild, I'd say. I understand rain, maybe some cool temperatures, but snow. Yeah. Wonder if anyone was trying to build a snowman or have a snowball fight. I always say this on America Tonight, almost every, at least every other night, a couple times a week, anyway. We're talking about the weather, Mother Nature, whatever it is, wreaking havoc with something. In the case of snow, I mean, I think that's kind of a funny, fun story for the people in North Dakota, because it wasn't, you know, 5 feet of snow where you had traffic jams and problems and all that other stuff, but just kind of a pleasant surprise, I'm assuming, although most people probably put away all their winter clothes. Now, they're not the only place that had a bizarre streak as far as the cold was concerned. Check this out. Green Bay. Yeah. The high temperature for the day was 52. And you say, well, 52. But 52, the high temperature. So that's a record. Another one from the National Weather Service. The old mark was 53 in 1943. I like temperatures in the 50s. Especially, I like temperatures in the nighttime that are in the 50s. One thing about being located in Texas is that you don't get the four seasons, really. And personally, myself, I know people listening to me on KVCE in Dallas, 1160 AM, some of you can certainly relate to this, whereas people listening to us in Connecticut and in Vermont, you get the four seasons. You get the changing of the leaves in the fall, and you get the cold temperatures, and you get the snow, and you get all the spring has finally sprung and all that stuff. And to me, the weather, it's not like California, where it's just all sun all the time, pretty much. But across the board, temperatures kind of, it gets hotter, but you don't get the extremes, not really. So if it snows or something like that happens, it's a big deal, just like in North Dakota, except for that in this North Dakota city, they get tons of snow during the wintertime, so pretty wild. If you were paying attention, this weekend was the third leg of the Triple Crown. This is another one of those things where if you're not a sports fan, you might have been plopped in front of the tube and you just like to see the horses run in the big races because there's so much pageantry and so much is made of the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and then, of course, the third race in New York, the Belmont. And I'll tell you, I never would have predicted that this horse would pull it out, but I want you to hear the tail end of the Belmont.
Dunkirk still leading the way. Dunkirk by three-quarters of a length. Charitable Man makes a bold run at the lead. And Mind That Bird's moving like a shot. Here comes Mind That Bird with a bold blitz toward the lead on the far outside. He's catapulting Pie Horses. And now they're coming to the stretch. And it is Mind That Bird who has taken the lead. Charitable Man is second. And Dunkirk fights on at the top of the stretch. It is Mind That Bird, fully extended by Calvin Morrell. Summer Bird is going to take a left run at him. Dunkirk is not done yet. Dunkirk comes right back. Mind That Bird, and here is Summer Bird. And here is Summer Bird to win the Belmont Stakes. Summer Bird, an 11-1 upset. Dunkirk finishing second. Mind That Bird was third in the 141st running of the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, 11-1. So here we go again. Another long shot. If you had plunked down just a buck, you would look at 11.90, $2, you know, double that up for an exacta. If you had picked the first horse and the second horse for just $2, it would have paid $1.21 for a $2 exacta. So before it would be $121. Not bad. So Summer Bird, $25.80. Paid to win. $25.80. Wow. That's a nice chunk of change just to throw that down on a long shot. But the horse itself, the guy who had the mount, the jockey who had the mount aboard the horse, Kent DeSormo, a guy who used to race exclusively pretty much on the West Coast, now is racing on the East Coast. It was a big win for him. And the key thing here is it's that tail end of that race because it's so much longer, I think, that kills so many of the horses. When you come around those last couple of turns, you fly down the tail end of it, and I think some of them if they're out of the gate too fast, they hit a wall. The last two furlongs of the Belmont Stakes are so, so tough, again, because of the distance of the race. So here you have Mind That Bird, who looked like Mind That Bird was going to take another leg of the Triple Crown, but it did not happen. A late rally, another surprising winner in a stakes race, one of the big ones, obviously the third leg of the Triple Crown, the Belmont. I don't know. I'm starting to think at this point that there's probably a better chance of peace in the Middle East than seeing another Triple Crown winner. Matt, do you follow this at all? Isn't this crazy? We have not had a Triple Crown horse since 78 and a horse called Affirmed. 78. Wow. Yeah, I mean, we're going back to the disco era.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely been a long time since anybody, I mean, I wasn't even born yet. My older sister wasn't even born yet. So, I mean, it's been a long time. And I think it's definitely difficult to just have that Triple Crown horse now because of all the training all these guys do. I think it's just a more competitive field, and there's so much pressure put on it now because there's so much more hype with, like, ESPN. And so whoever wins the Derby, they're immediately thrust into this thing on the Preakness about, oh, they have to win that. And then it's just so much pressure, I think, that gets put upon the horse and the jockey and then the trainer and, like, everything.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's what happens. And then you wonder almost if there's a – somebody told me there's sometimes there's a little conspiracy going around that there's a jockey lockout that they don't want the guy to get through, which sometimes that happens. They sneak through in the rail or down the middle or whatever. But in the case of these – in the case of the Triple Crown – We have not seen anybody. I guess the last horse I think that truly came close was Smarty Jones. And, you know, that's a handful of years now that we're talking about. And that horse just barely lost. But I don't, when I say I don't know that we're going to see it in my lifetime, I really mean that. I don't know that we're going to see that in our lifetimes. Some of us anyway, depending on your age, it's just not looking good, in other words. Hey, you can always send me an email day or night to americatonight.net, americatonight.net, and give me an update on what's happening in your neck of the woods. Plus, if you have a daily salute, because like I said, I give a daily salute to Roger Federer, and a lot of times it is a person in sports or politics or somebody who just did a good Samaritan deed for somebody and made, let's say, national news, but it can be somebody in your backyard. It can be somebody local that gets the daily salute. You just have to tell me their story, and we will hand out the daily salute to them if we think that it works. So all you have to do is suggest it to me. You know, again, the address, I keep throwing it out, is americatonight.net, and if you do that, we'll look into it. And, hey, there's a good chance that somebody in Lexington in Kentucky listening to us on WVLK or in Vermont or in Illinois or Connecticut or Dallas, Texas, or any of the places where we're broadcasting, there's a good chance that somebody may get mentioned, because we like to hear the feel-good stories, too. And we know that they exist and they're happening out there. It's just a question of finding out who's doing what and who's lending that helping hand with actually not asking too much in return. I always say this. I believe in the power of the people. That's why this radio show, I tell you over and over again, there is power in numbers. And if there's something you don't like that's happening with the government, you have representatives in Congress and in the Senate and certainly in Washington, obviously, overall. If you don't know who it is, shoot me a note on that, and I'll tell you who it is. Write them a note. Write them an email. And more people start to do that, you start to see that change is definitely afoot. Things do start to happen because nobody really wants to lose their seat. It's all about re-election, baby, right? Just remember, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and you can still always grab that brass ring.